Minutes approved. Okay, first bill on the agenda today, House File 1157, Representative Hawes. Okay, Representative Hawes.
Good morning. I would like to submit my bill for a passage and moving to the... Where are we moving it to, Mr.
It's
Chair?
Going to Ag Policy, Rural Economies and Veterans Affairs Policy.
Thank you. This is the appropriations of the Minnesota Support Our Troops account, which is made up of donations as well as the license plates account. And they have a minor change for expanding its usage. This morning, I have Mr. Palmer here to who is in charge of this partial division, and will explain the bill.
Okay. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Palmer. Give your name and who you represent for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Terry Palmer, Department of Military Affairs. I'd like to thank you for offering the opportunity to have this bill heard on behalf of Representative Hawes. It's a minor change. We've discovered, as we strictly interpret the original language for the Support Our Troops account, there are people who sort of fall through the cracks for a number of reasons, but what we will typically see is a young soldier who gets a notice that he's going to be deployed, and he will quit his job and get ready with his family, and they'll get down to the mobilization station, and either they'll get injured or they'll have a medical problem based on their mobilization, and they get sent back home. The problem is they're no longer in one of those statuses, and they are not a veteran. So we can't use Support Our Troops license plate money to provide them with grants if they have a financial hardship. So that's essentially what we're trying to correct here, is to make the language include those people who are suffering from some financial stress based on their service. And I guess basically that's the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Any questions, comments from committee members for the witness? Okay. Representative Hawes?
I would, again, renew my move to the Finance Division, Veterans and Finance Division.
Actually, that's going to be the Policy Committee.
Policy.
Representative Hawes renews his motion to move House File 1152 to the Ag... 1157. Representative Hawes renews his motion to move House File 1157 to Ag, Rural Economies and Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. Any further discussion? Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hawes, this is a great provision. This is one of those things we set up a couple of years ago, and it allows some of private organizations to be able to kick in money into a 501c3 that takes care of our troops, particularly when they're out on the front line and their families are back home meeting some dire financial needs. And so the community has stepped up to the plate, as well as to support our troops, which is, if you don't have one, get one. It's a great plate. But I appreciate Representative Hawes bringing this forward. It's a great move in the right direction.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything further, committee members? Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The bill passes. Okay. Next bill on the agenda, House File 1134, Representative Doherty.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Representative Doherty, would you like to move your bill to get it before the committee?
I would like to move House File 1134 with the recommendation that we pass it and refer it to the Ag Rural Affairs Policy Division. Veterans Affairs Policy Division.
Okay. Representative Doty, would you like to explain your bill?
Yeah, this is one of those that's fun to present because it's in response to a newly discovered need. You have a brief summary in your packets, hopefully, of the need for the bill, economic impact, which is nil, and the effects of this if it's not passed. And briefly go through this. It was recently discovered that the Minnesota National Guard and other National Guards do not have the legal authority to operate the instrumentality that we're dealing with here. These are the quality of life programs that basically purchase and provide recreational equipment for use by the military in the National Guard. So the only choice that National Guard Bureau has offered the states is to either operate as a satellite facility from the nearest military post, and in our case that would be Fort McCoy, or acquire state authority. And so this bill is to give that state authority. The Camp Ripley commander is requesting this for many reasons. Federal control of the activity would make it much more cumbersome to operate, and of course we don't want cheeseheads in control of what we do with our money. The economic impact of this bill should be close to zero. The instrumentality that we would set up here would receive funds from several sources that would include a portion of the sales revenue from the post exchange at Camp Ripley and the recycling program at Camp Ripley. It would also allow private donations and gifts from the public to be handled through that same fund. These funds are now used to purchase and maintain recreational equipment. It is expected that that would remain the major purpose. And as I said earlier, if we do not pass this bill, we either shut down the facilities, the activities at camp, or operate as a satellite facility from Fort McCoy for purposes of these recreational activities. And of course, with Ripley in my district, I see many, many, many of these fine young men and women. Their morale is good. Anything that we can do to keep it that way, certainly with a bill that's this simple to take care of a problem that people have just discovered, would be a good thing. I would gladly answer any questions if anyone has any.
Okay, members, are there any questions or comments for Representative Doty? Representative O'Tremble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you give me some examples of what that specifically would do?
Mr. Chair, Representative Otremba, let's say that either at Ripley or a National Guard facility in any of our towns, they wanted to put up a new basketball hoop for the troops or anything for recreational activities, any equipment, just something that allows them a little more than just the drill when they're there. Probably be the easiest example is simply recreational activities.
Thank you.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Doty, where are the funds coming from for subsidizing the MWR?
Mr. Chair and Representative Severson, funds would come from the recycling program at Camp Ripley, private donations, and a portion of the sales revenue from the post exchange at Camp Ripley. It's slightly possible if there was language in some federal grant to Ripley or some federal money to Ripley for that purpose, those funds would also end up there. I'm not aware of any of those at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Doty. I know I've been on many active duty posts, and their facilities are quite the facility for the active duty soldier. It's probably about time that in terms of physical fitness for our National Guard Army Reserve is important, too, and we need to do something providing the drill, or now we call them battle assemblies, at these facilities for the Guard and the Reserves, some good facilities for fitness development, too. So I support this.
Anything for Representative Stevenson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I've been on active duty bases as well. And this, you know, this is kind of one of those deals where the base will purchase campers or canoes or things like that, and then allow the people that are drilling or they're on active duty there to actually rent them out at a very reasonable rate to kind of generate the kind of outdoor activity that really creates cohesiveness, not just with the unit but with the family. So this is a great bill. It's a bad time, and thanks for bringing it forward.
Okay, anything further, members? Representative Doty.
Mr. Chair, at this time, then, I would like to renew my motion to pass this bill and refer it to the Ag, Rural Affairs, and Veterans Affairs Policy Committee.
Okay. Representative Doty renews his motion that House File 1134 be referred to Ag, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Bill passes. Okay, next up on the agenda, House File 551, Representative Wolfslager.
Good morning.
Good morning, Representative Wolfslager. Would you like to move your bill to get it before the committee?
Yes, Chair, members, I'd like to move House File 551. And I did have Colonel Eric Allness of the Minnesota National Guard to testify last Friday, but unfortunately he's not able to make it here today. So hopefully I'll be able to explain this in an easy way. This bill would allow a tax deduction for National Guard personnel serving under Title 32 of the Federal Code. Right now, only Minnesota members of the Reserves, in other words, Title 10 of the Federal Code, are allowed a subtraction from federal taxable income. This bill may affect up to 2,000 taxpayers. It's effective retroactively, beginning with tax year 2005. The fiscal impact is less than $1 million total. I do want to mention that this bill would or will be a moot point if House File 300 passes in its entirety. Now, House File 300, as you know, addressed both military payments and pension, and House File 551 only addresses these military payments for Title 32. So we have 3,300 Minnesota National Guard serving overseas. They are serving under two capacities, the federal status Title 10. Some of you know this better than I do. I had to learn this, actually, that Title 10, President of the United States is the chief, and they are referred to as the military reserves. I know Representative Stevenson's smiling, but, you know, we all have to learn somewhere, and I just want to explain it for you.
That's good.
Federal status Title 2. The governor is the chief. Now, certainly the president can call the guard to duty, and the governor has to accommodate, but they're referred to as the guard. And these individuals can be called to assist with, for example, immigration border control, Hurricane Katrina, the Republican Convention of 2008, and training outstate. So there's, you know, the distinction between these federal status Title 32 and federal status Title 10. And as you can imagine, from the public's perspective and from our soldiers, there isn't much difference between these two in terms of, you know, who should receive a tax deduction and who shouldn't. So this bill clarifies that both will. Thank you.
Anything, committee members, questions or comments? Okay, anybody from the audience that would like to speak to the bill? Okay, Representative Wolfslager, would I renew your motion?
Yes, Chair, members, I'd like to renew my motion to move House File 551 and recommend passage. I believe this moves to the larger policy committee.
Yeah. Representative Wolfslager removes her motion that House File 551 she recommended to pass and referred to Ag, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Policy Committee. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Bill passed. Okay, and we're up to our last bill on the agenda for today, House File 903, Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I would move House File 903 for passage and referral to the Ag, Economic Development and Veteran Affairs Committee. And members, we had heard a little bit about this bill when we were here in House File 300, and this was about the Montgomery GI Bill Selected Reserve. And at that time I had said there was a resolution that was coming forth that would hopefully clarify some of the language and really kind of put Congress on notice as saying the legislature of Minnesota wants equal treatment for our selective reserve as we do for active duty. You heard some people, some families come up here and testify that there was a gap in the funding for a selective reserve. And I'll tell you, as Representative Wolschlag was up here talking about Title 32 versus Title 10, it took me until my 17th year before I started to learn the difference, and I spent a tour in Washington, D.C. to find out the difference. But it is for the National Guard that is state-sponsored is under Title 32. For federal service or for the armed forces and selected reserve are under Title 10. And the problem we're running into here is particularly with our selected reserve, not necessarily the state, although it's the same issue, but with our reserve forces under Title 10 and I believe under Title 32, and Mr. Cleary can clarify this for me if I'm speaking out of turn on this. But basically, the provision is in there for right now for the Montgomery GI Bill selected reserve that if you are a selected reservist, you have to be in an active status in order to get the educational benefits. To be in an active status, you have to be in a drilling position, which means that you go once a month to a drilling site, or you have to be activated as our guys are for active duty. And so what transpires is if you're in the regular side of the military force or under Title 10, you have 14 years of which to use your educational benefits. When we're talking about the selected reserve, you have to be in an active status. In other words, they could, on the active duty side, they could actually retire, they could get out of the military, and they have 14 years, I believe, is from the time they've enlisted, from the time actually they've separated to use their educational benefits of the GI Bill. For the selected reservist, that would be selected Marine Corps, Army, the Air Force, and the Navy. They have to be in an active status if they are a reservist in order to use those educational benefits. That's problematic. And I'll just use my son as an example. He signed up to go to Afghanistan 3 years to 4 years ago now. And he went for 6 months of training up, a year out there, came back, was back 3 months. He had volunteered to go over to Iraq. He's been in Iraq now since March of last year, and he'll be there until July. The one provision that is in law basically says that if you are in 2 years of continuous active service, that you are eligible for that 14-year stint, or basically it closes the gap. But I'll tell you quite honestly, he will have served about 3 to 4 years of active duty, but it's broken up so that he won't have 2 years of continuous within both of those. So that's kind of a classic example of where, particularly for our selected reservists, when they go in and they swear in, they say that they're going to have the educational benefits of the Montgomery GI Bill Selected Reserve, and that is not, in fact, the case. In fact, what happens is they will go through their enlistment, which is typically a 4 to 6 year enlistment. They'll get called up, they'll go to training, they'll start college, they'll get called up for a year of active service, so that's another 18 months there. They'll come back, and then they may get a year to 2 years of education, and then their enlistment runs out, and they have to re-sign up for another enlistment. Well, as soon as they sign up, it's high probability that they're going to go back over to Iraq. And so unless they sign up, which is kind of a catch-22, they don't get those educational benefits. And all we're saying is if they are called up to go to active duty the same as their active duty counterpart is, they should have the same educational entitlements that the active duty counterpart does. Now, the active duty service is saying this is not an issue, this is not a problem. It's kind of a recruitment tool. It's a catch-22. We're being disingenuous to our troops. If we tell them that they've got educational benefits, then we need to deliver those educational benefits. We do not have the power to make the Congress do this thing. So what we're doing is sending a resolution to the Congress to say the state of Minnesota believes that you need to treat our soldiers fairly. If you're telling them that they're going to have the educational benefits, then you indeed need to provide those educational benefits. And that's what this resolution is about, and I would be happy to field any questions you might have, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Severson. Any questions or Representative Logan?
Mr. Chairman. Representative Severson, now, could you clarify that there is a difference between the Guard, because it's the state, and the Reserve? Does everybody understand that in terms of educational benefits?
Thank you, Representative Dittmar, and Mr. Chair, and you know, the state has stepped up to the plate, and we have said that for Minnesota Guard, that you have, I believe it's 2-for-1. For every year you're on active duty, you get 2 years of entitlement for getting your education taken care of. So if there's someone that has served for 2 years on active duty, they run out of their enlistment. They still have 4 years in which to use their entitlement. I would defer to Mr. Cleary on that. I believe that's
effectively that's true, Chairman Representative Severson. Technically, it's actually 2 years plus a day for a day.
Okay.
2 years total plus a day for a day.
So in other words, that would be 6 years they would have. 2 years passed. That provision does not extend to the federal side. In fact, when it goes into the federal side, we fall back onto the reserves, the selected reserve, Montgomery GI Bill selected reserve, which basically says you have to be in an active status in order to use those benefits. There are a couple of provisions, and I've talked a little bit with Senator Coleman's office, and I've been trying to get a hold of Congressman Klein's office, that we could put them into what's called an S2 status that keeps them in an inactive status and would actually, if we could change that provision in law, I think it would be a fix for this thing, but that's something down the road that we could work on. This resolution merely states that, you know, we need to be genuine about our willingness to put them through college if they're willing to step up to the plate. Did I answer your question, Representative Dittmar?
Follow-up, Representative Dittmar.
Mr. Chairman, yes, you did, and that's very important. When a soldier's in a drilling status, we call it a TPU unit, troop program unit, in the Army Reserve. And I know the state, the Guard, uses some of these things to draw people into the Guard. And I think the federal needs to do something about providing the same benefits to our reserve soldiers.
And Mr. Chair and members, and I think this becomes even more accentuated in a all-volunteer force where we are, you know, we are encouraging men and women to step up to the plate to serve their country. We tell them that you will do this, that we will give you educational benefits to help you out. And then when we don't do that, I think it turns into a negative recruiting tool because they say it's a bait and switch. And that's not what we want to do.
Anything further, members? Okay. Anybody in the audience that would like to speak to the bill? Okay. Representative Severson, would you like to renew your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and I would renew my motion that House File 903 would be passed and then referred to the Committee on Agriculture, Rural Economic Development, and Veteran Affairs.
All right. Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. Bill passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, it looks like that's it for today. Any other items from committee members before we adjourn? All right, thank you. Meeting adjourned.